Our first reading today, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Our second reading today is from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Well, g'day everyone. I hope you can all hear me today. My voice is a bit croaky. But we need to ask God to help me to get through and us to learn and listen. So let's pray together. Father, we have just been listening to the reading of one of the songs David wrote, asking for your help, but also willing to seek you and to learn from you. We pray, Father God, you would open our minds to understand more who you are and to learn to know and love you better. Speak to us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, what can I do? It's sort of wussy, isn't it? When you say, "What can I do?" It's sort of like you are just opting out. You don't want to take any responsibility for anything, let alone something you may have done. Or if somebody asks you to do something, "What can I do?" Well, the Lord won't let you and me cop out. And we need to believe in the Lord Jesus alone and then do what he says one thing at a time. Because there are lots of things you can do, so let's have a look at them one at a time. Now, I want to ask you a question today. Did you know the Bible challenges your way of doing things? Did you know the Bible challenges the popular way of thinking on how to get to heaven, wherever some people think heaven is? This is why you need to realize you've got one thing missing. Now, on your sheet, if you've got one, or if you want to look up there, I think it's a bit hard to see, but it's on the screen for you. Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." You find it hard to accept you haven't got it all together. You lack the goods and capability to get by on your own. This is the stuff of life sometimes. So many people are like the young, yuppie executive type, and they reckon they can make it with the Lord God by doing things their own way. This young bloke we read about in Mark 10 had lots of money, lots of influence, social clout, and his own goodness. Even Jesus' mates were impressed with this bloke. Sure, he's got it made. "You've got one thing missing," Jesus told this young bloke. "Me?" "Yes, you. You've got lots of money. You've got lots of influence. You've got social clout and your own goodness. But none of it is any good for you. You've got to stop depending on any of it. You've got to give it all away and follow the Lord Jesus Christ." Just put yourself in his shoes. It's a big call, isn't it, to give it all away and follow this bloke, Jesus. He was a good bloke because he thought he had made it. But he was laying down his own business model, terms and conditions, and making himself godlike. And Jesus busted his bubble. And you and me and the young bloke, we're in the same boat when we've got the same sort of mindset. You've got to get right with the Lord on his terms and his conditions, not your own. So don't be like the young bloke and refuse to admit your true condition. Because there's one thing you've got to do. And we looked at this one last Sunday, if you were here. Paul wrote to the Philippian Christians, "Brothers, I don't consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Now, it's pretty tough on you and me and everybody, really, to make the discovery you can't depend on anything of your own, because it's all going to fail. The Lord saves you and puts you right with himself. You don't save yourself. Nothing you and I will ever do will put us right with God. You've got to let it all go and follow Jesus Christ. How sad the young bloke we just read about couldn't see this amazing truth. One of the sadnesses you read in this story, and well, it's not a story, this account in Mark 10, is he turned away and walked off. He would not give it all away and follow Jesus. How sad. I'm praying you're not going to turn your back on Jesus and walk away. But Paul, you see, couldn't see the way to go either, and neither can you and I. Not until the Lord opens our eyes. And so, until he does, all we can see is what we are and what we do. But once you realize only the Lord can save you, then you ditch all your baggage and you turn to the Lord, because now you know the one thing I need to know. He replied, "Look, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not, but one thing I do know. I was blind, but now I can see." Now, even if you're like me, and you're a bit slow on the uptake oftentimes, I won't tell you what my dad used to think about me, you usually know when things have changed for you. The born blind bloke we read about in John 9, new things had changed for him. And he had no trouble telling people all over the shop how things had changed for him. "One thing I know," he said again and again and again, I was blind, now I can see. He knew and admitted his prior condition, his blindness. And you and me and every Christian ought to be able to make the same claim. We ought to be able to know and admit our prior condition. But do you want to stick with your prior condition? Or do you want to know the Lord's forgiveness and forget your dark and your difficult past and enjoy your new future? This born blind bloke didn't know what the future held for him. I can't imagine what it must be like to have been born blind and then, when I'm an adult person, suddenly being able to see. I suppose it's like those people who are born deaf and then they get a cochlear implant and they're able to hear. Their whole life changes. This bloke now knew he was new and he could see. And he was seeing more than just things, more than people, more than colours and birds and animals and light and stuff. Now he could see the Lord. So why would he want to go back to the dark? Once you see the Lord, once you and I see the Lord, we realize there's one thing you need. Martha, Martha, Jesus answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed, Martha. Mary has chosen what is better and it won't be taken away from her. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's the little things that get you. The little irritations, the jobs you've got to do, the niggles that come when somebody says something, the mosquitoes which drive you mad. Where we lived in Wee Waa before we retired here to Bathurst, whenever there was a spring of wet weather, you'd get not so much mosquitoes, which there were trillions, but also sand flies. And they annoyed the life out of you. But sometimes you think you're the only one doing anything. And everyone else is just sitting around talking and doing nothing. And so you fall out of your tree and people get embarrassed. At such a moment, there's one thing you need, and it isn't a nice cuppa like we've just been doing. Martha was so worked up, as we read here, back there in Luke 10, she stormed up to Jesus and stood over him. And this is the sense in this message. She stood over Jesus as he was sitting there talking with Mary and whoever else was there. Probably had her hands on her hips and the look on her face. And she demanded Jesus tell her young sister to get up off her backside and help her get the meal ready. Embarrassing. Jesus is very gentle with Martha. I love this bit. If you've got your Bibles, just look at it for a sec. And Jesus didn't react with a smart crack to light up Martha's fuse a bit more, like I may have done to somebody if they'd come with that same sort of accusation. Look at what Jesus says to her. Martha, Martha, you've got it all wrong. Now, didn't we just say Jesus didn't get Martha all annoyed? Here he is pushing all of her buttons. Next time somebody says something to you, you just say to them, you're wrong, and see what happens. But don't get it wrong. Jesus wasn't siding with Mary against Martha, not the way we think. And some of the fellows were telling us after their study the other night that they were on Martha's side because of the way they are. But you see, Jesus was teaching Martha she needed one thing. Jesus wasn't telling Martha she needed to do one more thing. No way. He was pointing out to her the one thing she needed. Martha wanted to listen to Jesus too. She was a believer, but she couldn't listen and do all the stuff in the kitchen and the dining room all at the same time. So she lost it. But Martha needed to stop. Martha needed to be with Jesus. Martha needed to learn from Jesus. She needed to know Jesus spiritually, as some commentator wrote. And she needed to get her priorities right. You see, it's very commendable to work hard to provide for our families and to entertain the mob who lobs in without phoning ahead. It's good to care for the poor and needy. It's good to be the sort of person who jumps in to get the jobs done. But just don't make sure you're depending on what you're doing to make God happy with you. The thing is, each one of us must stop depending on all the stuff we're doing. We need one thing. So don't forget, you've got to stop what you're doing. You've got to listen to the Lord Jesus and learn from him, because helping people is important, but being with the Lord is more important. Listening to the Lord is vitally important. What else do we say to our children when we're trying to gently reprimand them now that we're not allowed to smack them? Yes, Dad, yes, Mum. And you want them to respond in that way to show that they have listened. We need to be learning from the Lord. It's so important for us. And to be communing with him. So do you reckon Martha the Pain learned her lesson? If you read on into John chapter 11, a few days after her brother died, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask from God, God will give you." And a bit later on, Martha said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." You see her change? She understood. Even when she challenged Jesus, even when her hurt and her grief, she said, "If you were here, it wouldn't have happened." Then she realized, he is the Christ. And I reckon you and I can learn from Martha how much better it is to trust the Lord because of who he is. It's the best thing you could desire. You know, you and I desire so much in our lives, don't we? From the frivolous stuff we rave on about, like chocolate or whatever, or a relationship with people. "One thing I ask of the Lord," wrote David, "this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." I'm sure you've been somewhere but wish you were somewhere else. So you know how David felt, living out in the bush, on the run from the authorities. How would you feel? What would you be thinking about? What would you be dreaming about? Peace, quiet, a nice comfy bed, a delicious home-cooked meal. So what do you reckon about David? "One thing I ask of the Lord, I just want to live in your house, God, so I can look at you and sit at your feet and listen to you." Is he for real, this fella? And then today, you and I need to have the same desire. David wasn't pretending to be all religious just because he was in strife. David was trying to find a safe place to hide. Not just because he needed a safe place to hide, but because he knew the Lord was his real security. He wouldn't have been safe in the temple, not that it was in the tabernacle in Jerusalem, the Lord's sanctuary, but he wanted to be there. He was with the Lord in the bush, yeah, okay, but he wanted the freedom to go to worship. like you and I are doing right now. We are free to come and go. But David didn't have the freedom. And it looked as if everything in his nation has gone pear-shaped. So give up on the Lord and fight your own battles is the way to go, right? No, wrong. Keep trusting and believing the Lord no matter what the headlines are saying. Encourage yourself and others to wait for the Lord, to take your heart courage from the Lord, to trust in the Lord and all his promises and all he's done before. This is the sense of verse 14 of the Psalm 27. And if you ask, why should I? We answer, because the Lord is waiting, or longing, if you like, to be gracious to you and all his people. And as Isaiah 30 verse 18 says, the Lord blesses all his people who wait, or if you like, who long for him, who put their hope in him. This is the meaning of these words, to put our hope in the Lord because of who he is. And it's in the Bible studies, for those of you who are doing this series of studies, as it was quoted a while ago in the prayer. This fellow reckons David sang this song because he knew the Lord is my salt, my light. He knew the Lord was his sanctuary, his hiding place, protection. He knew the Lord was his direction, which is why in verses 7 to 12, he asks the Lord to guide him and lead him in the way he needs to go. And that's what we need to do in our lives. And then he knew the Lord is my hope. He had no hope in his society at the time. Now, when you add all this stuff together, you learn there's one thing you'd better not ignore. And it's in 2 Peter chapter 3. Don't forget this one thing Peter wrote to some Christians. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. I'm sure you've discovered by now in your life things can go wrong pretty regularly. And when things go wrong, I can get pretty miserable and upset. I'm sure you're similar. But we have to learn the same lesson David had to learn. We have to learn the same lesson God's people have to learn right throughout the centuries. We need to desire to be with the Lord. We need to desire to learn from the Lord. We need to desire to keep trusting the Lord no matter what. And these times are hard. And to know the Lord works to his own plan, to his timetable, to his schedule, not yours and not mine. This is one of the interesting things. We demand God do it our way. But the Lord doesn't work for you, not your way. And the Lord's timing is always right, on time, every time. And he's never late. He's never not coming, which is bad English, but a good truth. This is why Peter reminded these Christians. The Lord's not slow in coming as we think about people being slow. A day is just like 1,000 years to him. And 1,000 years, just like a day. The Lord is working to his timetable. And in case we forget, there's one thing you need to remember. As Joshua is about to die, he gathered the people together. And he told them, I'm about to go the way of all the earth, because all the earth people die. He says, you know with all your heart and soul that not one of the good promises the Lord God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Now, I'm sure there have been somebody who has let you down. It's hurtful. We get so disappointed, so frustrated, and it may even have cost you. learn today the Lord your God has never and will never let you down. Joshua reminded the people of Israel the Lord had never failed them, not even once. And he also went on in verse 15 to warn them that God was going to keep his promises to judge them if they failed. Now David knew the Lord was with him, even though all the evidence said, the Lord God has let you down, David. Peter wanted his Christian friends to know the Lord will never fail them, and he's not late. He is coming. Paul was confident the Lord Jesus had awarded him the special prize of heaven. Not because of anything Paul had done, but because Jesus himself, out of his great love, had done this. So, answer me this. What can I do? What can I do? Well, you could cop out and claim no personal responsibility, like we do too often. Or you can start by trusting the Lord because he'll never let you down. You can start by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ alone if you've never believed in him. And you can start by doing everything the Lord says, one thing at a time. So let's talk to our God. Our Father, you are so wonderful to us. Help us, Father, to be so full of hope, not just a hope-so sort of hope, but a fair income hope, that as we live our lives, no matter what happens, we may trust you and desire, Father, to be with you in your house, learning now you have made us to see and helping us to live our lives to give you all honour and praise. And Lord, to be willing to share the good news with somebody else somewhere in our families or our friends or people we go to school with or work with. I was blind, but now I see. Amen.